Boker Tov, we are here at Kehilat Shiftei Yisrael. We're on Gimel Amud Aleph on the bottom, and today we're doing Gimel Amud Bet of Masechet Brachot. Okay. Tov, we had a story yesterday of Rabbi Yossi who enters a churva. Okay, he enters one of these destroyed areas in Yerushalayim, and there he encounters Eliyahu Hanavi. And he said that he learned a number of things from Eliyahu Navi, and he told them about the voice of Hashem that he heard echoing from this place, mourning the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. Now we're going to talk about whether you're allowed to go into a churva or not go into a churva. And Svika, thanks for sending out that message. About the idea is we don't focus on the churva, the destruction. We rebuild. So, there's a churva sitting out. Correct. Nachon. It's been rebuilt, interestingly enough. So there are three reasons why we don't go into a churva, into a destroyed area. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, the last two lines of Gimel Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis teach us. Again, another rabbinic teaching. Mipnei shlosha dvarim ein nichnasin lechurva. There are three reasons why we do not enter a churva. Okay, one of them is mipnei chashad. The second one is mipnei hamapolet. And the third is mipnei hamazikin. Let's identify these three things. Mipnei hachashad, Rashi says, shelo yomru zonah muchenet lo sham. People will think you go into a churva, you're going to go do something inappropriate with some zonah, okay? So you don't go in there so that people don't think that you're acting inappropriately. The second reason is mipnei hamapolet. You can imagine it's dangerous. Sakana. The walls of the can fall down on you. And the third is mipnei hamazikin. Mazikin are shedim, are demons. According to Chazal, they're demons that float around in these broken, destroyed areas, and you have to be careful from the demons. Now, each of these three things, we're going to go through. Why do you need to teach us about each of these? Why do you need three reasons not to go into churva? Maybe two would suffice. Maybe even one would suffice.
Does this apply to anyone?
I don't know. Good question. But let's assume it's a churva or surrounding the Beit HaMikdash or something, whatever it is. But it could be anything. Some of these things, actually, the truth is these seem to be universal. So mipnei chashad. First of all, what do you need mipnei chashad for? The concern about a person is going to act inappropriately. The tebuklei mishum mapolet. Isn't the fact that there's a mapolet, it's dangerous, you shouldn't go in there. Isn't that sufficient? What's the answer? Bechadati. We're talking about a new something that's been, it's relatively new, in which case the walls, whatever is standing, it's still strong. Okay, so there's no concern of a mapolet. So that's why you need to say chashad. Okay, so v'tepuglei mishim mazikin. So why don't you just tell us there's an issue of mazikin? Okay, that there are demons floating around, and you don't need this answer of chashad. What's the answer? Betray. We're talking about a case where you have two people. And if you have two people, there's no concern of demons. Okay, this is, we could discuss this at another point in time, but their demons go away when you have two, multiples of two. Okay, so we say, wait a second, if there are two people, he betray, there's also no concern of chashad. Why is there no concern of chashad that you're going to do anything wrong? Because there's no concern, because if there are two people there, someone would prevent you, you wouldn't do anything in front of another person. So what's the answer? Betray upritzi. That you're right, there are two people, but they're both pritzim. They're both people who are immoral, unethical, who you wouldn't be shocked if they did something inappropriate like this. Okay, b'kitzur, this has to do with the laws of Yichud in Masechet Kiddushin. And the laws of Yichud, if you have two men and one woman, there's no issue of Yichud, of being in the same locale together or in a closed area. However, if the two men are both pritzim, they're very indecent, human beings, so then this would be a problem of Yichud. Okay, so we're talking about betrayu pritzim. So now we get to the second part. Mipnei hamapolet. Why can't we remove mipnei hamapolet? Because of the fact that it's going to fall down. V'teipoklei mishum chashadu mazikin. Just say that you have the concern of chashadu mazikin, and then you won't have to add in the issue about mapolet. So what's the answer? We say, no, we're talking about a case of betray uvikul ukshare. So, no, there are two people, so there's no issue of mazikin. And they're ksherim. These are not prutzim. These are not indecent human beings. These are good, kosher human beings who follow the highest religious standards. And therefore, you need the answer of the explanation of mapolet, because those two other cases don't apply here. And now we get to the third reason, mipnei mazikin. This also seems extraneous. What do we need this for? Mipnei mazikin, the tapu klei mipnei chashad mapolet. You don't need this answer of mazikin. All you need to say is there's a concern about chashad, concern about mapolet, things falling down, and therefore, and that would suffice, you wouldn't need mazikin. So what's the answer? Bechur v'chadati. Oh, we're talking about a new chorva. So there's a new chorva, right? In which case, uvitrei, uvikshari. So it's two people and they're kasher. So why don't we need, why do we need mazikin here? So ibitrei, mazikin, amile, because if there are two people, you don't need, mazikin's not a concern either. Bim koman chayshinan. The answer is, you know what? In the source of where the demons are, okay, the churva itself, we are chayshinan, we are concerned about of demons, even if you have two people. So this, just to summarize, to zoom out for a second, we had three reasons why you don't, you know, enter a churva, and we need all three reasons. Okay, we show how you need all three explanations. There are different situations in which each of these three reasons would apply. Okay. And now the Gemara is going to give a second answer. V'i bayit ema. I bayit is if you want to say. La'olam bechad. Now we're talking about a case where you have only one person. Uvechurva chadati. And it's a new churva. So it's a new churva, so the concern of things falling down mapolet is not a concern. Bechad, if you only have one person, so then we do have a concern about what? About chashad, suspicious behavior. And mazikin, the demons can come. So what's the answer? Dekae bedabra. We're talking about a situation where you're in the field. And if you're in the field, dehata mishum chashad leka, dehaisha bedabra lo shchicha. Women don't float around in the fields, maybe in a churva within the middle of a city, but not in the field. There's no concern there's going to be a woman floating around and you're going to do something inappropriate. Umishum mazikin ika. No, and in this situation, you would have a concern about mazikin, and that's why we also need mazikin. Okay, this is the end of this part of the Gemara. Now we're going to continue on, after the two dots, to talk again about the mishmarot. The mishmarot are the watches that we have at night. Now if you recall, in the last Gemara, in Masechet Gimel Amud Aleph, we said how many watches are there at night? Three. We had a question, either four or three, and the answer is that there are three. Now we're going to see, in fact, that it's a machloket between Rebbe and Rebbe Natan as to whether there are three watches or four watches. Clearly, in the previous daf, Rabbi Eliezer, we're saying, is following the opinion that it's three. But really, that's a much bigger machloket. And it's something good to understand about Gemara. Gemara is like unpeeling, is like peeling layers off an onion. Okay? You, as you get to the core, the middle of the onion, you come back to the core machlokot that exists. And sometimes you're dealing with the outer layers, and then you get to the core issue. Okay? It's not always organized as, you know, sort of chronological order, as you might expect. So we spoke about it, but now we're getting to the core machloket. Tanu Rabbanan, arba mishmarot hevei halayla. There are four mishmarot in the night, divrei Rebbe. This is the position of Rebbe. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasih, he's the one who composed the Mishnah. Rabbi Natan omer shalosh. Rabbi Natan says there are three watches in the night. And obviously the difference between them is that the watches are either shorter, they're going to be 3 hours long, or 4 hours long, depending on three or four. My time as Rabbi Natan. What is Rabbi Natan's logic why he says that we have three watches? He's going to bring a pasuk, a verse, from Sefer Shoftim, a story about Gidon. Gidon is one of the Shoftim who ruled the Jewish people. Dichtiv, as it says, Vayavo Gidon, Umea Ish. Gidon comes with his 100 men. Asher Ito Bikzea Machaneh. This was an attack. He used really military strategy here, Gidon. Rosh Ha'ashmurot Hatichona. This is telling us when he attacked at night. So it was Rosh Ha'ashmurot Hatichona. What's Tichona? What's Tichon? The middle, just like Yam HaTichon, the Mediterranean Sea, is the sea that's in the middle, essentially, between lands, Europe and Africa and Israel. Mediterranean, Med, it comes in the middle between lands, okay? Terra is land. So the Hebrew and the Latin all come together. So HaTichona. Tana, Ein Tichona, Ela Sheyesh Tefaneh Ula Achareh. Tichona means the middle. Clearly you have one before and one after, which means that how many watches do you have in your night? You have three watches. This proves the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Three. Yafeh. Then we go on. So then we have to understand, wait a second, Rebbe, what do you do with this pasuk? Rebbe, who says four, how do you explain tichona, this middle watch? Rebbe, my tichona. So we say achat min hatichona shebetichonot. It's one of the two in the middle. If you say you're a middle sibling, but you have four kids in your family, are you not a middle sibling? Of course you're a middle sibling. You just happen to be one of two middle siblings. And the other person's also a middle sibling. Okay, so you have two middle siblings. That's the same thing here. There are two middle watches, and this is telling you about one of the two middle watches. So Rabbi Natan says, wait a second, Rabbi, you can't just make stuff out of nothing. It says hatichona. It doesn't say hatichona shebetichonot, the middle of the, you know, of the two middle. Mikatib tichona shebetichonot. It just says the middle, meaning there are three watches, okay, according to Rabbi Natan. So now we have to understand Rebbe. Now we looked at Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan brings a proof from Gid'on, Hashofet. Now we have to understand Rebbe. Rebbe, how do you get to four watches? My time of the Rebbe. Amarav Zerika, Amarav Ami, Amarav Yeshua ben Levi, three rabbis teach the following. Katuv Echad Omer. We're going to teach their two psukim here. These two psukim, we need to resolve a contradiction between them. Through the resolution of this contradiction, we will see how there are four watches in the night. Katuv Echad Omer. One pasuk says, now I just want to show you, does anyone here have a circle before the next word, chatzot? You don't have it, you're on a phone. But anyone have a circle or a little mark there? That circle is telling us, if you look to the left a little bit, at least in my Gemara, it says Tehilim Kuf Yud Tet. Tells me where the source comes from. Okay, it's very useful. Again, it's like a hyperlink. This is called the Torah Or. Okay, some of you might have it on the top right of your Gemara, especially if you have newer pages of the Gemara. It tells you where the psukim come from. That's called the Torah Or. So Chatzot Laila for me, it's probably in the right or the outer columns on the Gemara. Chatzot Laila Akum Lehodot Lecha Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha. This is David HaMelech speaking in Sefer Tehillim, and he says, in the middle of the night, Chatzot Laila, I get up to praise you, God, for your righteousness. Okay? It's a chatuv echad omer, and another pasuk says, kidmu einai ashmurot. Okay? My eyes precede the ashmurot. Ashmurot is one of the shifts in the night, meaning I'm already awake during one of the shifts of the night. Now notice the word ashmurot is plural, right? So haketzad, how does this work? Okay? Arba mishmarot. So first David HaMelech says, Chatzot Laila Akum Lehodot, I get up before in the middle of the night. And then it says, Kidmu Einai Ashmurot. Meaning there are two watches still left. Now if it's in the middle of the night, there shouldn't be two watches left. There should be maybe one and a half, but not two. So how do we say this? HaKetzad Arba Mishmarot Hadeh HaLaila. There are four watches in the night. David HaMelech, who gets up in the smack in the middle of the night, okay, he's sort of, I don't want to use the word OCD. He's very makpid about getting up in the middle of the night. So he sleeps for two mishmarot, and then he gets up in the middle of the night. But there must be two more mishmarot afterwards, because he had ashmarot beforehand and two ashmarot afterwards. Chatzot is smack in the middle of the night. Okay? So how this is proof for Rebbe, who said that there are four mishmarot. How is Rebbe Natan going to explain reading the Pesukim of Rabbi Natan, Savalaki Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Natan holds like Rabbi Yoshua. Ditznan, Rabbi Yoshua Omer. Now this is an opinion of Rabbi Yoshua that connects to the latest time that you can say Shema in the morning. Anybody know what the latest time is? So normally we say you could say Shema until 3 hours into the day. Why 3 hours into the day? Most people get up at 6 a.m. People get up at 5:30 a.m., especially the workers, the peasants. David is here in the shul at 4 a.m. Okay, good, but what's that based on? Okay, what's that based on? The answer is that there are still people sleeping until 3 hours into the day. Who sleeps until 3 hours into the day? Melachim, kings. Oh, they take it easy. Winston Churchill stayed in bed till 12 a.m. Okay, he would do work in bed. He would drink in bed. He would do everything in bed. Okay, but this is the kings would sleep till, we assume, till 3 hours into the day. Say again, what? Yeah. So Rabbi Yoshua Omer ad shalosh sha'ot, until 3 hours. Now, I just want to mention this is bisograim. Parenthetically, there's a debate whether he means into the third hour, the beginning of the third hour, or is it at the end of the third hour. Okay, we interpret it generally to mean at the end of the third hour you have to say Shema, which David points out correctly. Today would be about 9:14 according to the Gra. Okay, so if you hold like Rabbi Yoshua, that means that even if David HaMelech gets up at Chatzot, you still have two Ashmurot afterwards, because the night is longer, essentially. the night longer, because you have from Chatzot all the way into 2 or 3 hours into the day, so you can still manage to get two mishmarot in there afterwards. Okay, so Rabbi Natan, who says, Rabbi Natan Omer Shalosh. So Rabbi Natan says like Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Natan holds like Rabbi Yoshua. Then Rabbi Yoshua Omer Ad Shalosh Ot Kishin Derech Malin Lamod B'Shalosh Ot Sheet Deleila V'Tarte Diyamama. So you have 6 hours that come from the night, from Chatzot onwards. V'Tarte Diyamama, and two that come from the day. Hevelu Shtei Mishmarot, which means David HaMelech slept for, it seems like, one mishmar, one shift, but then there are two more after he wakes up. So he says, I wake up and there's still two ashmarot left, two watches left. It's because there was only one beforehand. Why are there two after Chatzot? Because we sort of go into deeper into the day, because Shema can be said later into the day. Okay? So this is one way of resolving this tension for Rabbi Natan. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi has another way of explaining it. Mishmara upalgi nama mishmarot karu luhu. A shift and a half is considered, we call that two shifts. And so you'd say, how many shifts do you have tonight? I have two shifts. But it's really a shift and a half. What does this mean? How do we resolve this? It means that David HaMelech slept for 1.5 shifts before Chatzot and 1.5 shifts after Chatzot. But doesn't it say Ashmurot, that he wakes up and there's still two Ashmurot left? The answer is 1.5 shifts is like two shifts. Okay? And that's how we resolve this issue. So this, just to summarize, we have a machloket between Rebbe and Rabbi Natan. How many mishmarot are there in the night? Rebbe says 4. Rabbi Natan says 3. Okay, question.
It seems as if the view of Rabbi Natan prevails.
Of 3. Nachon, because in the previous Gemara, we had Rabbi Eliezer, who says that it's 3. Nachon, correct. Okay. So, and remember, it doesn't seem like there's any, what's the nafka mina here? What's the practical difference between these opinions? So, as we saw in the previous Gemara, you're supposed to call out, you know, it's a good time to daven. It's an eighth ratzon to daven around the mishmarot. So, if you have 3 mishmarot, you have maybe more opportunities that are going to be at different times, depending how you break up the night. Yeah.
When Rabbi Yeshua Omer at Shalosh Shaot, he's talking about saying the Shema in the morning?
Yeah, at Shema in the morning. At the end time for Shabbat Shema in the morning.
I
think Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. No, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with it and says the end time is Netzach Hamah, if I'm not mistaken.
But if we're saying that at Shalosh Shaot, and you're already doing a division of 3 hours, so then it's got to be 4 mishmarot, because if you're dividing it up into 3, and we're saying that every 3 hours.
No, so it seems like the Ashmurot after Chatzot are a little bit longer. Those are 4 hours each. Whereas before Chatzot you have, listen, Seder Kochavim goes down. The stars come out. 4 hours takes you to Chatzot. Okay? And then you still have 8 hours left, because you go from Chatzot 6 plus 2, and that's how you get 8. So that's how you would... That's how you would get 4, and you know, then 8 divided into 12. It's going to be 14. So maybe you'd have to say as follows. Maybe before Chatzot, it's going to be 6 hours. 6 hours, the Ashmored before Chatzot is 6 hours. Then you have Chatzot, and then you have 8 hours left, and those are split into 2. So they have to be smaller shifts. The last 2 shifts are shorter shifts than the first one. That's how I think you'd have to explain this. Okay? Good. Let's go on now. Sometimes it's important to understand how the Gemara is organized. The Gemara is often organized according to associative thinking. Sometimes you have one comment from one rabbi, and we say, now we're talking about this rabbi, let's bring more comments from this rabbi, even though the substance of his comments have nothing to do with each other. So we're going to jump to a totally different topic, but what's connecting the previous statement and this statement? The same rabbi says these statements. So let's see who this rabbi is. Amar Rav Zrika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So another statement by Rav Zrika in the name of Rav Ami in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, which we just had earlier as well. And what does he say here? Ein omrin bifnei hamet ela dvarav shamet. A person is not supposed to, literally this would appear to mean, one shouldn't talk in front of a deceased person, except with the things that regard the mate. Okay? What might be the reason for this? Nu? What do you think is the reason for this? Okay, so there's a concept of loeg larash. We don't want to like mock those who are dead. That's why we don't walk around in a cemetery with our tzitzit out or wearing tefillin. So the same thing is true here. One shouldn't, you know, speak about words of Torah. Well, we'll see. So let's see what this means. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana lo amran ele b'divrei Torah. Rabbi Abba says we're talking here about not teaching Torah in front of a deceased person. Because you're embarrassing them. They can't study anymore. And you're allowed to study. This teaches us how Judaism embraces life affirmative. We want to live. We want to have chayim, life. We're not seeking out to be dead. We're not, there are other religions that seek out whatever, all these different things in Shamayim. They prefer death over life. Judaism, kihem chayein of yorachman, real life is in this world. And that's why tumah is impurity is associated with death. Life is associated with purity, yeah.
Is there to another person his lifetime? Remember what he did, good things he did.
Oh, no, that's different. That's a good question. That would be a little bit different. That you'd be able to, when you give it a spade, you want to share words of Torah and, you know, to inspire people and to, you know, to speak about the person. But that may be a little bit of an exception. Okay. But normal casual conversation, that we're not talking about. We're only talking about you shouldn't speak words of Torah. What's the concern? Again, loeg larash. You're mocking this person who can no longer engage in mitzvot. V'ikad Amri, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Another ikad Amri is another version of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Lo aman ela afilu b'divrei Torah. This is true of divrei Torah. The kol shekein milei da'alma, and certainly other conversation. What this means that you shouldn't have Torah conversation in front of a dead body, and you should not have any casual conversation in front of a dead person. And the Ritva explains that this is stemming from a different sort of reason. And this is that it's inappropriate. It's not mechubad to be having conversation in front of a deceased person. Now you have to remember, you know, today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a society, you know, chas v'shalom, something happens, you call the Chevra Kadisha, the hospital, they're there in 20 minutes. You could imagine it wasn't so simple a long time ago. You'd have to, there are times when a body would be in the home for a longer period of time. There are discussions in the Gemara about what do? You have to put a mechitza. It's not so simple. Okay, so this is why it might be of concern.
In Jerusalem, they don't wait.
Correct. We don't wait. Correct. We don't wait. We try to bury as soon as possible. Correct.
Why then?
I mean, in general, you know, it's kavod hamet to bury as soon as possible. We try to do that. Okay, next piece. Now we're going to talk about David's schedule. Okay, what was David's sleeping schedule? If you looked on his Google Calendar, what would you see there? When did he wake up in the morning? When did he put on his alarm clock? So we just said already that David gets up at chatzot. Now, why would a person get up at chatzot? What are you doing at chatzot? Okay, but David bepalga de leila have a ka'e me'orta. There's a question. And David would get up in the middle of the night. Wait a second. It says in another pasuk that he got up in the evening. Me'orta is when the stars come out. Me'orta havaka'e dichtiv, as it says, kidamti baneshef va'ishavea. Neshef means the night. Okay? He says, I kidamti, I get up, or I you know, a transitional... It's dusk. Okay. We're going to see that it also means dusk. But right now it means night. Va'ishaveh. And I get up and I call to Hashem. I daven to Hashem. Umimai dahai nefesh ortahu. How do we know that neshef means the night, meaning, you know, the evening? Dichtiv b'neshef ba'erev. Yom b'ishon laila v'afila. It says b'neshef ba'erev yom. Okay? Erev is associated with neshef. So we see that David HaMelech would get up at night. So how do we have a contradiction here. On the one hand, we're saying David HaMelech gets up at Chatzot, in the middle of the night, and then we see that he's getting up earlier in the evening to get up to daven, to call out to Hashem. So we're going to have three different explanations of this. Amar Rabbi Oshaya. First one is Rabbi Oshaya. Rabbi Oshaya Amar Rabbi Acha Hachika Amar. This is Hachika Amar David. This is really what we're saying. Me'olam lo avar alai Chatzot laila b'shina. He's saying, I never passed Chatzot asleep. That's what he's saying. He never was sleeping during Chatzot. He didn't get up during Chatzot. He got up earlier than Chatzot, but he was never sleeping during Chatzot. Okay, I'm at Chatzai, and I'm usually sleeping at Chatzot. I don't know about you guys, but okay, fine. Rabbi Zera Amar Ad Chatzot Laila. Haya Mitznam Neim. Rabbi Zera says, until Chatzot Laila, he would sort of doze off. Kisus, like a horse. Mikan Ve'elech Haya Mitzgaber Ka'ari. Afterwards, he would get up like a lion. Okay? So you could see David HaMelech didn't want to sleep. And this is good Musar for us. We should try to sleep less. We could sleep in Shamayim one day. We're supposed to use all our time. From what I understand, I heard a story about Bekra, the Gaon Mivilna. He used to sleep 2 hours a day in 30-minute intervals. So he would sleep from 11:30 at night to 12 and then get up and learn throughout the night. Okay? So that's the Gaon Mivilna. So third opinion, Rav Ashi Amar Ad Chatzot Laila Haya Oseik B'Divrei Torah. Until Chatzot, he would study Torah. Mikan Ve'Elach V'Shirat V'Tishpachot. Afterwards, he would daven. Interesting. Wow, it's really one way to split the night. Remember when I was doing Mishmarot when I was in the army? I was at Kever Achel, and we were doing some guard duty there. There were people who would come. I mean, all these crazy characters would show up at Kever Achel in the middle of the night. You can't believe what happens there in the middle of the night. Some people would come every single night to sit and learn Zohar all night. I remember there was a Rebbeim there. I learned with them once or twice. Sitting learning Zohar all night at Kever Achel. It was, I don't know what they did during the day, but that's what they were doing at night. Okay. V'neshef ortahu, ha-nefesh tzafrahu. Wait a second. This is all assuming that neshef is the night, orta. Ha-neshef tzafrahu, neshef, though, is the morning, tzafra. Is the morning, tichtiv, as it says, vayakein David me'ha-neshef ve'ad ha'erev, the macharotam. This is talking about a war that David HaMelech fought, and it says that he fought me'ha-neshef, until the Erev. So Neshef would seem to suggest it's from the morning until the night. Mea Erev, Vad Erev, and the Macharotam. So my lav mitzafra avad leila, isn't this telling us that it's from the morning until the night? The answer is no. Mea orta vad orta. David was fighting from the night to the next night. Okay? So then we say, wait a second. If that's the case that he was fighting from night to night, it's like a secret op in the army under dark. So then it should say meha nefesh ve'ad hanefesh. He fought from night to night. Oh meha erev ve'ad erev. Okay, ela amarava trei nashvi havu. There are two nashvi. These seem to be transitional moments in the day. Neshef leila ve'ati yimama. You know, the night passes and the day comes. Neshef yimama ve'ati leila. Or the night passes and the day comes. Okay, yafe.
That's the way we use it today.
Yeah, neshef. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, next point is, wait a second. Did David really know when Chatzot was? Today we have, geological time on our phones. You have an alarm clock. How did David know when Chatzot was? Because it turns out someone else appears to have not known when Chatzot was. Who was that? Who did not know? No, but that's not Chatzot. Chatzot is the middle of the night. Who did not know when Chatzot was? Okay, Paro, no. Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so we're going to see. David, mi have a yada, palga the leila, ema tashta. Did David know exactly when the middle of the night was? Moshe Rabbeinu lo have a yada. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know. Tichtiv always means as it says. As it says in the Psukim. What does it say in the Psukim? We're talking about Makat Dechorot, the killing of the firstborns. And Moshe tells Paro, Kachatzot halayla, kichatzot, be'erech, as like the middle of the night, or close to the middle of the night. Ani yotzei b'toch Mitzrayim, Hashem will smite the Egyptians in Mitzrayim. My kichatzot. What does kichatzot mean? Ilema da amar lekucha brichu kichatzot miika sveka kamei shemaya. Is this telling us that Hashem doesn't know when chatzot is? That would be a problem if God doesn't know or doesn't have the ability to calculate chatzot. There's no safek with regards to God. Ela da amar le bechatzot lemachar bechatzot kihashta ve'atayu ve'amar kichatzot alma misafkele. Did David have a yada? Okay, so what he's really saying here is that the Amar Lei bechatzot. Hashem says bechatzot of today, I'm going to come tomorrow, and then Moshe Rabbeinu changes it to kichatzot. One second, I just lost my place here. Vata yu v'amar kichatzot. Alma misapkalei. So it was a doubt for Moshe. It seems like Moshe didn't know when chatzot was. Did David have a yada? David, how did David know when Moshe did not know? So we answered David simana havale. David had a siman, a special sign, which helped him to know when chatzot was. What's the sign? The Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Chasida Kinor, Chasida Shimon Chasida, excuse me, Kinor Yatalui Lamala Mimitato Shal David. David had a Kinor. He had his, what's Kinor in English again? His harp was right above his head, okay? On a shelf, I guess. The Kevan Shehigia Chasot Laila, when Chasot would come, Baruch Tzfonit, the northern wind would come, v'noshevet po, would come through the harp, u'minagein, u'me'elav, miyad haya omed v'osek b'torah ad she'ala mura shachar. And we see that he would play the music. This is how he would get up. Maybe this is a reason, if you have to choose a voice on your alarm clock, choose a harp sound, and then you'll be like David HaMelech. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Okay, and what would David HaMelech do? He would get up at a mura shachar. Okay? He would get up in a Murah Shachar. By the way, this appears to be a proof for the Magen Avraham, who says that we count the day begins of a Murah Shachar all the way to Tzeit. That's how we calculate the Sha'od Zmaniyot. Remember the 12-hour times, as opposed to the Gra, who says that we go from sunrise to sunset, from Neitz to Shkia. So what happens? Kevan she'ala Murah Shachar, nechnesu chamei Yisrael. A Murah Shachar comes and he's already doing, palace business. The Chachamim come in, eslo amru la'adunenu ha'melech, Amachai Yisrael Trichin Parnasa, your people need some food, they need Parnasa. Amar Lahem, so he says to these rich guys, Lechu v'hit Parnasu Zamizeh. So fine, help, you help him out, and you help this person out. And everyone should help out someone else, and then everyone will have Parnasa. Mizeh Amrulo, v'hit Parnasu Zamizeh. Amrulo, they say to him, En hakomet masbia etari. There's not enough food to fill the lion's stomach. We don't have enough to help these poor people. Ve'en habor mitzmalei michulyato. And if you dig out a bore and then you want to put it back, that which you put in will end up being less than the size of the hole. Meaning you're not going to be able to fill up the hole. Okay, amar lahem lechu pishtu yideichem bigdud. So David says, okay, you don't have enough. Go and conquer and take spoils from the surrounding nations. And this way you could feed the poor. This sounds very Robin Hood-esque. Okay? Miyad yotzi'im ba'achitofel v'nimachin b'sanhedrin v'sholim b'urim v'tumim. Now they have to go through this whole bureaucratic process to get confirmation to go to war. Okay? What would they do? They would meet Ya'eth. They would take counsel with Achitofel. He's one of the advisors of David. And they would talk nimachin b'sanhedrin. They talk to the Sanhedrin. V'sholim b'urim v'tumim. And the Kohen would ask the Urim v'tumim to get confirmation from Hashem to be able to go to war. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "My krav acharei Achitofel b'nayahu ben Yehoyadav Avyatar v'sarat tzavah lemelech Yoav." There's a list here of all the advisors of David HaMelech. And what does it say here? So Yoav and the Melech Yoav Achitofel ze Yoetz. Achitofel is the Yoetz. V'chein hakatuv omer v'atzad Achitofel asher ya'atz bayamim ha'im kasher yishal ish bidvar Elohim. We see that Achitofel was, we're just proving that these people were advisors to the king. So we see that Achitofel was an advisor. Benayel ben Yehoyada, this is the Sanhedrin. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. The Eviatar, who was the Kohen, he would use Urim v'Tumim to ask Hashem of things. V'chein hu omer, uvenayel ben Yehoyada, ala kreti v'ala pleiti. Lamanik Hashemam, kreti u'pleiti. Why was Benayel who's... He was really the head of the army, but why was it called the Kreti Pleiti? Kreti Shekortim Divrehem, Pleiti Shemuflaim Bidivrehem. So this is talking about the Sanhedrin. They did wondrous things. They were very clear-cut in their psak. V'achar kach tzar tzava lemelech Yoav. And after that, you have the tzar tzava Yoav. Okay, period. We're ending here. Just to summarize what happened here is that we're saying that David HaMelech couldn't provide for all of his people, so he said, go and take spoils from the nations, and they would have to go through a bureaucratic process, and we bring psukim to prove all the people that you'd have to speak to the Sanhedrin, and you'd have to speak to Achitofel, and you'd have to speak to the Kohanim in order to get confirmation to go out to war. Okay, we'll end here, and then I'm going to take a question. Yeah.